Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Tuesday, August 9th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. And thanks to the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice, these tools are available absolutely free on the Internet through the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of the book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet, and it's a tool I've been using for 18 years now to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also download the actual tool itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click the link, download it, print it off, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over again absolutely free. You can also go to the App Store of your choice and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. If you choose to tap on that, it will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences, and a way to ask questions and get answers, a way to access the commitments, and many other things. Links to the website are being added on a regular basis to the app. So, powerful tools for improving the quality of your life and relationships, access absolutely free, tutoring, tutorials, there's a whole set of files like of shows just like this one where people have called in and been stepped through that worksheet process, which if you listen to them repeatedly can serve as a tutorial to help you get the most out of these tools. If you're not able to call in live on the internet show, or you're not willing to call in and be coached live through the internet show process, these archives can provide a very good substitute for that process. If you don't have a live support group in your area, or you're not able or willing to join us on the support groups that are available two nights a week through Zoom on the Internet, Tuesday night, 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central, Thursday night, 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central. And if those aren't options for you, listening to these tools, these radio shows where people have called in and been stepped through the worksheet process can serve as a tutorial. And we encourage people to do that soon and often because primarily it's our experience that improves people's quality of life, and secondarily it helps us live into our intention with this work, which is to be of service. And that is because the more people download this material, use it for themselves, apply the tool in their lives whenever they're upset, the more it leads them to have answers, questions, testimonials, comments, suggestions, etc. And if you have any of those to share with us, give us a call at 563-999-3581. That's 563-999-3581. Alternatively, you can send us an email. You can email me at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org, or you can email Jeannie at jeannie@yagain.org. That's whyagain.org. And we hope someone will do that soon. We have plenty of time left in the show. I'd like to remind people that even if we're in the middle of reading something from The Way of Mastery or there's a monologue going, please feel free to call in and put your hand up. We'll either turn on the microphone right away or wait until it seems to go with the flow of the show and turn on your microphone and announce you by your area code. And, again, that just makes all of this process easier. It helps the community get in touch with what the issues are that are coming up for people. It helps us refine our own work. There is no such thing as a silly question. Even those of us who've been doing this work for 18 years or more, I can speak from experience, frequently learn when somebody asks a question, even though it might seem to be something of the most basic nature. I was just working with another favorite teacher of mine, and he's decided to go back and look at the very first set of teachings that he was called to give and go into a deep dive with them. Many times people get on a path or they develop a skill set and they think, well, I'm so advanced, I don't need to do the basic stuff anymore. And that's usually when they stop learning, and it's usually when those who stay in the role of student surpass them in their skill level, in their facility for using the tools. So please feel free to call in and ask even the most basic of questions. It is a benefit to us and usually to the listeners as well. Yesterday we were reading in The Way of Mastery, which we've been doing since, I believe it was the 10th of January. And we're going quite slowly. I think lesson 17 is the first lesson we didn't read two times through slowly with commentary. And specifically those files of the first hour of our show since January 10th are available on a separate page on the website mindshiftersacademy.org. So if you want information about how to join us for our support group on Tuesday or Thursday night, that's most readily available on the website at mindshiftersacademy.org. And also, the archives of the first hour of the internet shows since January 10th, specifically because we've dedicated them to reading The Way of Mastery with commentary. And so those files are available all on one page at mindshiftersacademy.org. And yesterday as we were reading the last section was titled, A Simple Exercise to Forgive and Bless the Past. And it's noteworthy in my mind to redefine the word forgiveness the way this book has defined it. In the third lesson, it says, to forgive means to release another from the perceptions you have been projecting upon them. And how do I know that I need to release another from any perception I have of them? If it leads me to a negative conclusion or a negative emotional state, I know it's in error. So my perception is distorted, and the process of forgiveness is to remove my distorted perception and restore me to a clearer cleaner view of my nature and the nature of whoever or whatever I'm dealing with. So in this section of Lesson 18, it talks about a simple exercise to forgive and bless the past. Another way to say that is a simple exercise to dismantle my false perceptions about the past and accept it, allow it, and surrender to it, to be taught by it. And the text in that section, to do a little backup and read this a little bit more slowly, the text reads, I want to offer unto you a simple exercise. It will take you 30 days if you apply yourself daily. The implication in my mind is it will take you longer than that if you choose to wait and choose to delay, and that's one of the things that they talk about in Guy Finley's work. They talk about it very directly in The Way of Mastery. They talk about it in a number of other traditions. You can choose what you do with your mind energy. You can choose whether you read this book or listen to these shows. You can choose whether you do any of the exercises. You can choose to put it off yet another day, but the way Mastery says it. And if you choose to put it off, that's okay. And understand you will suffer in your slumbering. You will be pushing away the one thing you need to do to have a better life. And it's okay to do that because you have free choice. So if you choose to do this every day in a focused, concentrated, top of the of your energy field, you know, good clean waking hours in the day, it may take you about 30 days. And it doesn't need to take any more than 10 or 15 minutes to do this exercise. But the text goes on and says, here's the exercise. Merely come to your chair, your place of devotion, your place of meditation or prayer, and begin with the exercise that we gave you many lessons ago of abiding as Christ for 5 minutes. When this is completed, then simply continue recognizing that you do not know what a single thing is or is for, that you do not know what a single brother or sister now in your life or who has crossed your path has ever truly needed. This is the truth of our lives. We don't know much of anything. We have access only to less than 1% of the visual spectrum, the electromagnetic spectrum. We have access to less than 1% of the audible, auditory, vibrational spectrum. Our conscious logical mind has to work overtime to even come close to perceiving a fraction of 1% of what hits our senses as data points. And as this work has talked to us about, it's essential that we recognize the truth of our lives, the truth of our existence, and it begins with recognizing how little we know. How we truly know nothing that isn't made up by our culture and by our language and by our family conditioning. So it says, the text says, admit your ignorance. As a matter of fact, in an earlier lesson, it called us to become very, very divinely ignorant. In divine ignorance, in the true recognition of how much is going on in the world that we have no way to perceive or conceive of. But once you admit your ignorance, then it asks us to then simply and deliberately say within your mind, quote, I choose to forgive the creation that will now be brought into my awareness. What does that mean? I choose to dismantle any negative perception that my mind formulates as the flow of creation moves into my awareness. And then I ask some higher level of wisdom, integration, insight, intuition, Holy Spirit is the recommended phrase here. I ask to be shown what is in need of my blessing, my acceptance, my allowance, my surrender. The text goes on to say, as you sit observing what comes into the field of the mind, the field of awareness, it may in fact be a sudden tightness in a muscle. Don't overlook it, for even that is arising within the field of your mind. Be, just be with whatever that creation seems to be. Is it a picture, a memory, a feeling, a thought, a sensation in the body? Just be with it. Just notice it. Single it out and stay with it. Look upon it. And once again, practice the process of dismantling any false perception about it in this simple way. Speak directly to this thing you're observing and say, quote, object of creation, I forgive you. In other words, I dismantle the judgment I have placed upon you. And thereby, the judgment is released. Now do I embrace you. The flow of life, as it unfolds, is neutral. If I want to be in the flow of life, if I want to be aligned with all heart of creation, with the mind of creation, with the power of creation, this is a wonderful process. And then the text goes on and says, literally feel yourself forgiving, releasing, and embracing. In other words, dismantling false perceptions, releasing them, and embracing what truly is in front of you. Those that wish to visualize might see themselves taking a hand and wrapping it around that thought or that object, that memory or that sensation, the sensation of a muscle in the body, but wrapping your hand around it lovingly and gently as though you were holding the most delicate of flowers, the most beautiful flower ever created, as though you were holding a gift directly from the Creator. Look upon the object and simply say, I am Christ, and in this moment, I use time to its greatest glory. Beloved object, I bless you. I embrace you. I heal you. Then, if this is a picture in the mind or a thought, simply allow it to be dissolved. Notice that as the image dissolves, you will detect that there is a field of spacious peace that you may not have noticed was there before. The object of creation has simply become transparent to the reality of who you truly are. For that peace is the nature of Christ. That allowance, that openness, that lack of judgment, that lack of knowing, that divine ignorance, that embracing of everything is the Christ. The text goes on and says, do this as long as it is comfortable, as long as the mind does not seem to waver or get too rattled. If it seems to become uncomfortable, simply notice that that discomfort is there. Acknowledge and thank yourself for your willingness to heal creation. And then let this exercise go and be about your day. Come back to this exercise as often as you wish, but at least once a day for each of the next 30 days. So what's the exercise? I sit in the chair, imagining what it might be like to be the Christ, to be part of a Christ mind, part of the one mind. And at the end of 5 minutes of that, I notice what comes into my awareness, and I say, I choose to forgive the creation that will now be brought into my awareness. I choose to dismantle any negative perceptions about the flow of creation that's going to come into my awareness. And then I ask to be shown what is in need of my blessing. And when something comes into the focus of my awareness, I speak directly to it. And I say, tree, chair, hand, knee, whatever that is, I say, object of creation, I forgive you the judgment that I have placed upon you. I dismantle any negative judgment, any judgment, any limitation, any labeling I have placed upon you. I release it and let it go. And now I embrace you just as you are. And then I say, I am Christ. In this moment, I use time to its greatest glory. Beloved object, I bless you, I embrace you, I heal you. Do this exercise as often as you wish, but at least once a day for the next 30 days, and it will transform your experience. The text goes on to say, many of you will begin to see a certain path or pattern emerging. That is, many of the objects that come for healing may seem to be almost chronologically linked to your experience in this life. Others of you may notice that you were tapping into a multitude of other lifetimes, and some of you will experience and realize that over this 30 days, nothing seemed to show up with which you could link a personal causation in this life or a past life. But rather, it seems to be presented to you by something else, and it's coming from some unknown dimension of the universe. Please remember, never judge what you see, what you feel, or the thought that arises. That judgment is the creation of a perception which puts a barrier between you and the direct experience of this moment, this life, this thought, this physical sensation. And it is every judgment is something I will later need to dismantle. So when I choose to judge, I simply create more work for myself. That's all. The text says, never judge what you see, what you feel, or the thought that arises. There are many dimensions of creation, many forms of life, and many ways in which experience is created. Do not judge what you see, what you think, or what you feel. Hold it as an object that has been brought to you by the flow of life, by the great comforter, by the Holy Spirit, by the extension of the creative energy, who is asking you, as a representative of Christ, the Christ, part of the Christ mind, asking you to bring the healing of blessing to it. Your mind energy is a powerful creative force. We've said this over and over again. So when you hold a judgment, it's creating a constriction and a contraction inside of you. When you hold a blessing, it's opening the flow. It's letting creation flow more lovingly, more respectfully, more compassionately, with more gratitude and appreciation. That's something you have dominion over. In every moment, you get to choose. The five words that I think represent this book, summarize this book, are: the choice is always yours. So there's no need to get all bent out of shape if you recognize that you're judging or you're feeling tight or tense. The thing to do in that moment is simply shift your attention over to the release, to the dismantling, to the letting go of the judgment. That last paragraph again reads, never judge what you see, what you feel, or the thought that arises. There are many dimensions of creation, many forms of life, and many ways in which experience is created. Do not judge what you see, what you think, or what you feel. behold it as an object that has been brought to you by the Holy Spirit, by the Great Comforter, who is asking you as Christ to bring the healing of blessing to it. What does that mean? That means to just experience it, allow it, surrender to be taught by it. Breathe into it. Notice what it resonates in you. Have gratitude for the ability to be there in the moment, in form, and having awareness of it. The text goes on and says, many of you will have very profound insights and realizations over the next 30 days if you're doing this exercise. Some of you will have memories that you've never been able to access before. Why? Simply because there has been the barrier of fear. That is all. Fear is what creates and sustains the illusion of separation. So that when anyone says, I can't remember back past the age of 5, close quotes, that is utter nonsense. Every event you've ever known is present for you now in its fullness. You've merely used selectivity as a result of judgment and fear to press down into your mind certain events. As you approach it in the way that we have offered to you, you will discover that the fear of creation seems to become more and more absent. Therefore, the barrier between you and creation becomes more transparent. Some of you will even have very clear experiences of transcending all sense of personal consciousness and suddenly realizing the vastness of your being is greater than your entire cosmos. Some of you will experience improved relationships with a coworker or with an old friend or a sudden phone call or a letter from someone you've not been in touch with. Why? Because somewhere in the process, something bubbled up and was given to you for healing that literally sent the message to that one that you are with them and that they can heal and release their own patterns. Please remember, all minds are joined. So that as you are engaged in healing, you are providing a spark of light that holds the potential to uplift every mind in your dimension and in all dimensions. This is the same message that's in the Course in Miracles, where it says when you are healed, you are never healed alone. It also says in another place, millions yet unborn will benefit from the work you do here today. It also says in another place, there is no place as sacred on the planet as a place where an ancient hatred becomes a present love. And love, another word for love, another way to conceptualize love in this work is acceptance of what is. Love is the energy of creation without constriction, without pushing it away, without judging it, without turning away from it as though it might overwhelm you. Love is this energy of creation, and it is always open. It's always extending, expanding, accepting, embracing. And that's how it transforms all things. It allows all things. It surrenders to all things. It accepts all things and therefore transcends all things. The last section in this, or the next section in this chapter 18 of The Way of Mastery is titled, We Embrace Your Choice for Healing. The text reads, we abide in a dimension of consciousness in which there are no barriers. Everything is perfectly transparent. We are very aware then, simply by selecting to turn our attention to whomever we wish, we are aware exactly what you are currently involved in healing. Rest assured, each time you choose a loving thought, each time you choose to join with us to be the arisen Christ, you spark joy within us. For we are embracing with you in delight your choice for healing. Separation cannot exist. Your healing brings us joy. So now the cat, so to speak, must come out of the bag. We truly come to you and help you heal for very selfish reasons. We know that as you heal, our joy is uplifted and extended. We know that as you heal, you come closer and closer and closer to remembering that you already are where we are and all that we are. The text goes on and says, while we play in a dimension that seems to not include physicality, and you may seem to play in a dimension that does include physicality, as you become more transparent to creation, the sense of separation dissolves. More and more and more and more, we dance together. This is a shock to the Western mind. This is something the Western mind cannot wrap itself around. This is all about how, from our moment of awakening in physicality, most of us have been trained by our parents and by our caregivers to think that we are separate, to use the senses for the purpose of discernment about differences. This is your hand. This is your elbow. It's different than your ear. It's different than your nose. This is yours. That is mine. We are separate from each other. And so there's an entire level of experience that goes beyond the physical senses, which is what they're talking about here, that all minds are joined and that at levels of existence there is no separation. These are things that the way our Western mind, conscious, logical mind has been trained, we can't even wrap our minds around it. We have to experiment with it. We have to play with it. We have to choose to do exercises to put ourselves in a space where we can have an experience that goes beyond what the five senses tell us. More and more and more and more, we dance together in the eternal joy of atonement. At one-ment, bringing creation back to the love, to the flow of creation itself, thereby transforming it, thereby illuminating it, thereby creating within the flow of creation itself the means by which the good, the holy, and the beautiful are extended forever. Suffering need not be. The suffering with which you may yet be identified need not be. You can choose to identify with it. You can argue for your limitations, and they will be yours because your power of choice and your mind energy is a creative force. And yet, this teaching wants us to know it need not be. It is only by choice that suffering is held in the mind. And it is only by choice that it can be healed and released. No one can make you give up your clinging, your judgment, your suffering, your rationalizations about how your anger is valid. No one can make you give that up. You're free to hold on to it. And you're also free to release it any moment. No one can make you hold on to it. The text goes on and says, beloved friends, friends indeed. We take with great sincerity the use of that word, friends. And we are indeed with you always. Please notice that when this lesson, we've started to transmit the thought, we rather than I. There's not a single entity giving you this message. You are not here with one lone spark of creation and a mind of creation that wants to help you out. The help is legion, it said in another lesson. If you ask, you shall receive. And those that will receive, that will bring that receiving to you, are legion. The text goes on and says that for although the one that you have identified as Yeshua is very much a part of this communication, please understand that no one heals alone. Redemption of the good, the holy, and the beautiful is never done alone. Creation is a collaboration. That is why relationship is the means of your salvation. All healing involves the whole of creation. We come to you because we love you. You may wish to look upon us and use the term lineage, for within the resonance of beings, within dramas of creation and within the dreams of separation and within the infinite number of worlds that have arisen and continue to arise, a resonance has been created through an infinite number of souls that seems to be separate and individual. We are merely those who seem to have gone ahead of you a little bit in time and seem to have awakened more thoroughly than you give yourself credit for in this moment. In truth, the awakening has already occurred. It's already done. You're merely in the process of remembering that awakening. We come to you then as you would wish to perceive us. Some of you see us as far above you. Some of you see us as right next to you. Some believe we could never be equal, you could never be equal to us, or never so grand, or never so great. Some of you look at us and smile and say, all right, would you move over and let me get on with this? All perception still falls within the realm of illusion. Truth comes by revelation. I and my Creator are one is only the utterance of inadequate words that are pointing to or reflecting a certain revelation of truth. We love you because you are who we are. In the end, there is only Christ loving Christ back into wholeness. A wholeness that was never truly lost in the first place. This is just a dream of being lost and separating. This is like the hide-and-seek game that the mind of creation decided to play with itself. And so it had to create the experience of having separate selves so that part of it could run and part of it could hide and part of it could stay back and count to 100 before going on the search. We love you because you are who we are. In the end, there is only Christ, loving Christ, back into wholeness. A wholeness that was never truly lost in the first place. And in that moment, when creation is returned, you have a good laugh and you say, oh man, I'll be darned. I never really went anywhere at all. And my brothers and sisters are here with me. Not only that, they are who I am. Remember then that each loving thought restores you to your rightful place. Every fearful thought merely delays the moment of your release and the restoration of your perfect peace. Remember that only love can heal. No technique has ever brought healing, though it can provide a temporary field in which the mind can choose to love. remember how perfectly simple it is. It is not possible for you to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Imagine an employer who has decided to pay you 1 million of your gold coins per hour, and your only task is to place a flower where the employer wants it. And the way the employer works, because he likes to have fun, is to provide you with an envelope each day when you show up for work. You open the envelope, and it's a set of instructions, which says, quote, outside you'll find a taxi cab. Take the taxi cab to the inner city, and there take this job of a street sweeper. On Thursday morning, I'm going to send you to an 84-year-old man who hates himself and feels himself to be useless. Give this man a beer, sit down on the curb, and talk to him about how you used to hate yourself. It's all right if you never did. Just do this for me. And as you talk, I will fill your mind with exactly the right words. You will know just that time to turn and look into that man's eyes and simply say, brother, you are loved, and the healing will occur. Close quotes. That's all that's written in the envelope. Now, meanwhile, your coworker gets a different envelope, and they get sent to a penthouse in Paris to eat at the grandest of meals, to be blessed with millions of gold coins surrounded by a harem of beautiful men, women, and the finest of wines. And yet it will all be a smokescreen, so that when the room service person brings the next bottle of wine, I will whisper into their ear, bless that room service person. Close quotes. Now, in the realm of form, it looks as though there's a big difference between one blessed with infinite wealth and hanging out in a penthouse in Paris and one sitting on a lonely cold curb in some deep dark inner city with an old man who hates himself. And yet I say unto you, there is no difference. There is no difference because creation holds only one purpose, one goal, one value, healing. The healing that allows the Creator's holy child, Christ, to arise from a useless dream and to be restored to her rightful place at the right hand of creation. This is not a spatial term. It simply means to think rightly, to be restored to sanity, so that creation can flow forth ever more perfectly, ever more joyously, adding to the kingdom by extending the increasingly good, the increasingly holy, and the increasingly beautiful. Never then judge yourself by comparison to another. Comparison and contrast are what the egoic mind does so that the judgment can result. Judgment of self, judgment of another. And all this does is make the dream of separation continue. Since it is in the dream, it needs the dream to continue to maintain survival. You have the option to simply choose to give it up. Each of you is as wealthy as the one next to you, for you have the perfect love of creation. You are as your Creator has created you to be, unchanged, unchanging, and unchangeable forever. No event has ever had an effect on you. There is only love, and you are that. Therefore, simply be who you are. You are the light that lights this world and restores it to the loveliness of heaven. Just watch the mind. Just watch the Western mind that wants to push against this. The last section is titled, The Question That Will Determine Your Tomorrows. The text reads, we close this lesson with a question for you to answer for yourself, not to discuss, not to analyze, not to ruminate over, but merely to sit in what appears to be your private realm and ponder and answer. For unless it is answered, there can be no movement. How it is answered will determine your tomorrows. And you are going to have an infinite number of them, by the way. Clearly, this must be a reference to your source as consciousness, not your physical body, which they say over and over again, everything birthed in time ends in time. So you that we're talking about here, who will have an infinite number of tomorrows, is the pure consciousness of the Christ mind. And the question is simply this, quote, do you recognize that you have already been everywhere and everywhen in the illusion of separation? Would you be willing right now, in the quiet privacy of your own heart and mind, to use the power of awareness that's been given unto you to decide to be love? Close quotes. So here's the question. Do you recognize that you have already been everywhere and everywhen in the illusion of separation, which means space-time and all dimensions? Would you be willing right now, in the quiet privacy of your own heart and mind, to use the power of awareness that's been given unto you to decide to be love, to allow, to accept, to surrender to all that is, to dismantle any perception of smallness and littleness and lack and any negative emotion or any perception that leads to a negative emotion, and just be the space of love? Just understand your true nature. The text says, some of you will have just felt a feeling of fear come up. Some of you will feel a sudden thought rushing through your awareness. Quote, oh, this is such a bunch of nonsense. Close quotes. If you give the fear the power of reality, you will have effectively delayed the answering of the question. If you listen to the thought that calls it, quote, nonsense, close quotes, you will have done the same thing. But the only thing you will have done is this, and please listen carefully. You will only have delayed a moment that will not be forsaken. You will have delayed the inevitable. For your journey home has already long since begun. And once that journey begins, rest assured, the end is certain. Push against it as you will, like a gnat shouting at the universe, my will be done, not God's. Love merely waits on your welcome. Choose then, beloved friends, to embrace the only answers those questions can truly have. For those answers are the truth, based on what is actual, what is real. With your embracing of what is real, the moment of your liberation is at hand. And Christ descends gently to begin to make its home where once the illusion of separation of self seemed to reign. The end is always just a thought away. Liberation, a simple choice. The way is easy and without effort. It It rests in the power to decide. We love you, and we are with you always. We will never, ever, ever contract, retract, shrink away from any experience or thought you choose. For it is our delight to extend the good, the holy, and the beautiful. Can this be but love being extended to creation, from creation, you, the holy child of all creation? Beautiful you are, radiant you are, innocent you are, powerful you are, eternal you are, free you are, loved you are. We cherish you now and forever. Practice well and enjoy the next 30 days. Be you therefore at peace, beloved friends. Amen. So there you have it. Lesson 18, our first time sharing it through with commentary. A practice for learning to dismantle any negative perceptions of your past and moving into allowance, acceptance, surrender, embracing of your past and your present. And in doing so, coming more directly into conscious awareness of your true nature as the extension of love of the creative energy in form. We have about 7 or 8 minutes left for comments, questions, answers, testimonials, 563-999-3581. Call that number and press 1, and we can have a short conversation. How is this landing for you? Are you breathing? Are you noticing tightness and tension? Did you resonate with the part where it says, you know, some of you people are going to be listening to this and saying, this is garbage. This can't be true. Area code 541, you're in the air. Are you there, 541?
I'm mute challenge.
Is this Celinda?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Welcome.
I had the button on mute because Larry is mowing for our host. And if it starts to disturb you, please let me know and I'll get right off. I love what you're doing, what you're reading. I love this whole thing. What happened for me was COVID and the great rift it has made was my catalyst for deciding that I wish to be only love. What's very interesting is as soon as I decided that, the challenges come up all over the place. And I think, oh my goodness, Fenelon Swamp, I guess I better get to work.
Yes, and one of the tricks of the Western mind is to make it some kind of a punishment or some kind of a barrier that's being thrown in our way, when all the great teachings tell us it's just the garbage that we brought into the moment that has to be unloaded in order for us to be lighter and free and clear in the process of perception. It's not that I'm getting punished because I want to have a more peaceful, loving experience or because I want to know God. It's not, there's no cause and effect relationship other than if I walk into a room carrying big bags of garbage that have ooze, you know, seeping out of them and fumes wafting off the garbage, the room's going to get full of that stuff.
Really?
And people are going to be aware of it. Now, I may not be aware of it because I may have gotten so used to it, but someone's in that room is likely to point out, hey, that smells. And if I'm not willing to just, you know, take a breath of clean air and see the difference between that and the fume-infused air that I've been breathing, I won't be able to acknowledge, oh, yeah, I brought this garbage in with me. I'll get defensive and I'll accuse them of attacking me or whatever. But that's the same thing with my anger and my fear and my sadness and my hurt and the experience of my traumas from the past. I bring them with me unless I acknowledge them and release my attachment to them, dismantle the perceptions that I've created about what they mean about me and why and how they happened to me in my past. Once I do that, they lose their impact over me. I quit beating. Go ahead.
It's also about I no longer need them to survive. It's just like, oh, this is useless. I could choose something different.
Yes, and the more accurate way to say that is I never needed them to survive. I no longer believe I need them to survive. I've dismantled the false beliefs. I've dismantled the attachments and the false perceptions. And I see what's false as false. And as Krishnamurti would say, I see the truth as the truth. And I see the false parading as the truth. Right? So many of these teachings say the vast majority of suffering I create in my life is the product of me trying to pretend that what's true is not true and that what's false might someday be true or what's false is true. I can't improve my life or my experience of life unless I see the truth, actuality as it is. And if I'm relying simply on what my senses tell me and what my belief system has programmed into me, I can't get movement. I can't have a different perception and experience. I've got to give up the knowing that the conscious logical mind would do. I've got to do what this lesson was calling us to do so clearly, move into divine ignorance. I've got to practice the awareness that I don't know, I truly don't know what anything is or is for. I don't know what I need. I don't know what my brother and sister needs. I don't know anything about the essence of life and the truth of life that my senses are giving me all of these data points, and I've got this, what Guy Finley would call this mechanical level of mind that's constantly churning, creating pictures from the data points that are registering in my mind, run through the filter of my past, and that's not what's actually happening. That's some convoluted picture run through filters of distortion of family and culture that I've been steeped in for countless generations, and it's based on a tiny fraction of a tiny fraction of 1% of the actuality of life. And so when I open myself to a different level of knowing and perception and experience by canceling my goals over and over again, by canceling my need to be right, by moving into the awareness of my divine ignorance in each moment and asking to be shown, it opens up dimension upon dimension of creation for an experience that goes beyond anything I've ever been able to imagine, each new heartbeat.
I know you have to get off really quickly. Really quickly, I so appreciate the metaphor about the sandbox, and I also appreciate what you just said about not knowing what anybody else's needs for their journey, let alone mine. And that's my lesson I'm working with right now. How often I find myself taking somebody else's inventory. And I went, oops. So that's the lesson I'm playing with in the sandbox now, Dr. Tim.
Well, I appreciate the call and the comments, and glad you're on the journey with us. I will mute you so you can listen to the second hour. I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. I appreciate you.
You're very welcome and deserving. Have a wonderful show.
Thanks. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. And today is Tuesday, August the 9th, 2022. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. Just remind everybody that this week is the second Thursday of the month, and the second and fourth Thursday, Michael joins the Global Book Club online. If you
actually,
go to our web, huh?
Actually, this week, Yinka is on vacation, so we're not doing this week. It'll be 2 weeks from now.
Okay, so on the 25th.
Yeah, 25th.
All right, very good.
So that was wrong. But there are archives on the website that people can go back and listen to of those, those events. And maybe you want to tell people where they can find those.
Yeah, if you go to our website and click on schedule, there'll be a drop down and it'll have Global Online Book Club. If you click that, it gives you both the sign-in information for the days that there is a book club, how you can sign in, and then it also has all of the archives. And so you can click on those and listen to them. It's also under events, so you can find it in both places. And then this week on the Saturday, the 13th, is our Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. So if you're interested in being part of that, please get in touch with us sooner than later, because we also need to get you a Mind Shifter to work on before we breathe on Saturday. And Michael will actually be traveling, so I will be leading the breath workshop on Saturday. So I'll turn it over to Michael.
Awesome. Thank you, sweetheart. And welcome. We're honored that you're with us today as we open the space for a deeper understanding of this thing called life and the tools that restore us to the truth of who we are. And I'm going to circle back to something we haven't talked about in quite a while, but I did a piece of writing several years, well, I guess it's maybe 3 years ago now, called Love Restored. And I happened to share it with someone, and they were touched by it. And so I thought I'd share it once more on the show, just as a reminder. And Jeannie, if you'd like, I can send you an email with the link to both the written and the musical form of it. I'm just sending you that as we speak. And so Love Restored is kind of the story of the journey through the return to the truth of who we are as human beings. And if I seem to be hesitating a little bit, it's because I am, because I'm just getting that email to Jeannie so that she will have that. For anybody that wants to listen to the recording of it, I wish we had an easier way to play a recording like that. So Love Restored, the world mistaken. The fleeting of love is not our essence. Love created instead is eternal. Love grasped at and dreamed about, but never to be gained or possessed through another, only experienced is a luscious taste of the true self, of being. The essence of another can only be experienced, touched but not captured, be imprisoned to fulfill the dream of possession that could never be. The essence of the self, being, is the only experience of love. Your birthright is to flourish in it, to live in its bliss. All else is illusion. Pardon me, illusion. Imprisoned in the cage of demand and held breath, love fades. Forgotten in the swirling cries of a thousand generations of love mistaken, it disappears. Captured and bound by an unfulfilled yearning, it only appears to be smothered, dead. Foolish to think a surrogate can fulfill vanished self-awareness of what is buried beneath the noise of unresolved, unforgiven suffering and pain. What was never absent, what seems lost, the still small voice, has been obscured by clouded perception. It is among us still, sleeping under the blanket of unfulfilled desires. It will live again, not in their fulfillment, but in their release. The chains of desire bind. Savor pure being that lives again in freed breath. For the truth of being is, you live eternally. Shiny and new, concealed but never touched by the traumas and losses of the world. Only to be experienced when you truly forgive and again awaken to the truth of who you are. Of course, the whole objective of this work is to be restored to that state of human life, that state of pure being. The culture, you know, we all start out in exactly the same way. If you hold a newborn child and tap into his essence, you find the direct experience of that state that we call love. And notice if you tap into the essence of the newborn, when you think about it holding you, are you holding it? That the newborn isn't loving you, but that the newborn is love. And the objective of this work is to recognize who we are and to be restored to the direct experience. In a world where we're told that love is something we're going to get from somebody else, something we can earn, or something we can give to someone else, rather the truth of human life is that direct experience of love. And when we're chasing the lie, oh, I want somebody to love me, I want to love someone, we've given the mind a mistaken goal, and mind will chase forever that illusion. And, you know, seemingly an oxymoron, when I start canceling, when I begin to engage in forgiveness and allow all of the false ideas of love that cloud my mind to be dropped, to be let loose, then comes the direct experience. And when you're in that direct experience, every cell in your structure sings as it's designed to sing, with joy and aliveness, as we are restored to the truth of who we are. And that really is the singular objective of this work. There's so many different ways to say what the work is about, but ultimately, It's about being restored to the direct experience of ourselves as our true nature, and dissolving, dismantling all of the false pictures we've been brainwashed with about what we are. You go back 2,000 years ago, and the originator of this work, Yeshua, says, in order for you to live, you've got to die. That if we think we're what we've been told we are, and you look at the messages that are given to children today, if you think you are that, then you're living out of an hallucinated self that becomes the block to experience the truth of the vibrant, sweet, direct experience of conscious, active, present love. And the forgiveness process is such a key in removing the falsity that our mind has us aiming for. Oh, if only I could get somebody to love me. If only I could get somebody to approve of me. If only I were good enough. If only I weren't broken. Because so many people have been given messages by those who raised them up that there's something broken about them. There's something wrong with them. And those messages are a travesty and a tragedy to humankind, because the opposite is true. The direct experience of who we are is all that's needed. And we can't get that from someone else. Someone else can stand as that space of active present love with and for us. But if we're blocked in even allowing that in, then we'll misperceive what's being offered and get stuck in that false experience of the non-being mind, the non-being self. And so removing the blocks, of course, is very clear. Course in Miracles is very clear. It's about removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. And so who are you really? The truth is, you are the active presence of conscious love. That's what you are as a human being. And to remove everything that is less than the truth about you is what we're here to support you doing. Each and every tool that we've developed is about rediscovering that truth on deeper and deeper and deeper levels. And recognizing that the key to that direct experience is the direct experience of who you are, is to remove all the false thoughts about what you're supposed to be, about what somebody told you you were. So if you listen to, you go back and listen to the Course in Miracles, it speak of the fact that the truth cannot be spoken in words. And people try to explain in words, attempt to establish the truth of who you are, and that's just pure silliness. So the key to having that direct experience is to remove what blocks the awareness, and as that occurs, and there's a cute story about an admirer looking at Michelangelo's finished statue of David and asking, how did you do that? And Michelangelo replied, David was always there in the marble. I just took away everything that was not him. You hear the Course in Miracles saying your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find, and of course forgive, the barriers within yourself that you've built against it. Charlie Chaplin had an awesome insight that parallels the Course in Miracles. You only need power to do harm. Love is enough. to do what matters. And we thank the Down Under contingent for sharing that quote with us. That was a powerful one that you gave us. And so the mind has been trained to create a world based in words, and ultimately that there aren't enough words, and there aren't enough big enough words to accurately give one the direct experience of what love is. Words can give us the directions to achieve an experience, but they can't give you the experience. And many times people are looking for that experience in words. The instructions can be given, however. And the basic curriculum is that of forgiveness. It's not about studying any given set of words. It's not about studying this work. It's not about studying A Course in Miracles or anything else. Words can give us a set of instructions. And if I believe that I am what I perceive to be, then I'm stuck in, well, what the Course says is a world made up by me to take the place of what the Creator gave me in creation. And that means one is trapped in the past. In that lesson on what is the world, the Course says the world, the false world, will remain no longer than the thought that gave it birth is cherished. The thoughts not founded in love, but dressed up 1,000 ways to make itself look important. And those energetic patterns must be forgiven. And remembering that forgiveness is removal. The power of our thinking to produce the world we see, when I hold a thought, my mind turns that thought into a picture. It's an interesting power that the human mind has. It will take any thought you have and turn it into an image, a projection that shows you the thought in form. And of course, if you have a thought and you see that thought in form, the tendency is to believe that thought on deeper and deeper levels. But if you're in pain, what your mind is in essence telling you is this is a false picture that you're looking at. And of course, if you live in the world of thoughts based in blame, which is what most of the world is made of, you know, you listen especially to how much conversations going on in the world today about how somebody else is to blame for, you know, others who proclaim to be so powerful. And yet every time you hear them speak, they talk about being victimized by others. It's all somebody else's fault. And when somebody hallucinates that kind of thinking, they literally generate and see a world where, sure enough, somebody else, I mean, the picture really shows that somebody else is the cause of one's pain. To believe the errant thought systems that are based in blame. And then when you engage in actual forgiveness, literally perception collapses in on itself and you get access to the errant thought directly rather than projecting it, rather than making pictures out of it. And then, exposed to love, that thought's removed and your pain dissipates and disappears. Oftentimes we say, well, but I don't know what the thought is. Well, this is the genius of this work that Yeshua created 2,000 years ago of forgiveness, which literally shows people how to collapse the world of false perception. And when you engage in the first century Aramaic forgiveness process, and there's several ways you can do that. If you've never engaged before in a tool with which you remove content that never belonged in your mind from your mind And it's like a double whammy when you realize that your thinking generates the world that you see, and the world that you see is a product of your thinking, and you get stuck in that loop. What's needed if you're stuck in that loop is a way to collapse that whole process, and that's what forgiveness does. It isn't about, you know, some authority letting you, forgiveness is not about some authority letting you off the hook for some terrible perceived offense. Forgiveness is the way that you collapse the whole false world between your ears. You let go of trying to figure it out, and as you collapse the false and allow yourself to return to the truth of active present love in you, then that active present love, when it is brought face to face with that which is hell in the mind as a lie, the lie literally dissolves. But if you're stuck in denial, if you're stuck in the thought and the speech that something else is the cause of your pain, then your mind will show you that something else is the cause of your pain. And that piece of information, that literal picture and errant thought, that thought disorder, have to be removed. And that's what forgiveness does. So ultimately, the removal, the forgiveness of thoughts of blame becomes an important part of the process. And it's not about the Greek trickery that I'm going to let you off the hook for what's happening inside of you. Letting someone else off the hook is pardoning, and that's a nice thing. But if you call it forgiveness, you will never engage in actual forgiveness, because you're never going to discover what it is. Believe an error. And our whole culture, I mean, virtually everyone in the world believes that forgiveness is about letting somebody else off the hook for what's happening inside. When forgiveness is about collapsing the perceptual constructs of the mind and freeing oneself of those constructs, the entanglements of the past. It's a liberation from the image-making capability of the perceptual mind and the thought disorders that underlie its function. That's forgiveness. Forgiveness is about collapsing perception, dissolving the underlying constructs and entanglements from the past, and therefore being liberated from the image-making capability of the perceptual mind and freeing oneself from the thought disorders that underlie its function. It's about freeing ourselves from errant thoughts that, you know, either I've made up or the thought disorders that I've learned or inherited from my culture and my past generations. That's what must be removed. So it's about learning an entirely new skill that has nothing to do with the Greek act of pardoning, of me letting you off the hook for what's happening inside of me. How do you do that? How do you collapse this false perceptual world and expose the underlying thought disorders? And are you ready to learn something that is so different from the belief systems of the world that have pretty much captured us all? And so in essence, that's where we're heading, is into that understanding and that technology. So, you know, what is it that needs to be collapsed? What appears we see a whole world outside of us, the truth is we've never seen anything with our eyes. Our seeing, what we call seeing, is nothing but a world constructed by our minds. Seeing happens in the mind, not the eyes. When we think we see something outside of us, we've been fooled. And the thoughts involved in generating that perceptual construct are what we're seeing the result of, not what's happening in the actual world. And we can massage the thought disorders so that our perception matches our thought disorders, and people look at us and go, what are you talking about? Nothing that even resembles what you're saying happened. So this skill called perception is an image-making capability with which the mind constructs the world to match what has been trained through generations and generations as familiar, desirable, and true. Now, the only feature actually demanded by this skill is that it be familiar. It has to fit the family pattern and keep us in the role to which we've been assigned. The role may be painful, degrading, abhorrent, but it's our role and therefore desirable. And the role is usually false. If there's any form of hostility or fear involved in the perception, then, pardon me, it's totally and completely false. And if we accept that false identity as true, if we've lived in that identity all of our lives, it's going to take some willingness and some tools to free ourselves from it. Again, the tool is called forgiveness. This world of internally generated perception comes complete with color, sound, emotions, a whole construct which we then substitute for the actual world which the Creator has given us. Now, it's such a fraud. People would say, well, why would anybody tolerate that? It's because it's familiar to me. You know, it's kind of like, you know, people don't see any flaw in the things they've made. The remaining blockage of truth about those faults, and they massage the thought disorders that are their very faults into a picture of someone else made out of those thoughts. And so somebody can offer the whole idea of blame. It's all somebody else's fault. But you'll notice if you've been through it 87 different times with 42 different people, you're the only one that was there every time. Very few people are aware, and even fewer will admit, that we each live in a world of perception constructed by our own minds, of something that's of our own making. And when people say, you know, when people repeat the title of my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again?, they repeat a construct of their minds as though it's come from to them from the outside once again. You know, oftentimes it's repeated in the form of things like, why are all people the same? All people are not the same. But if you're using the same thought disorders to make images of people, like, you know, in each arena, let's say in the business world, if one gets stuck in a certain thought disorder about business, then all business people will resemble and reflect that thought disorder. If it's in the arena of relationships, then anyone one enters a relationship with will tend to be to resemble the thought disorder, because it's literally constructed from the internal thought disorder. And so if you're in a why is this happening to me again experience, the objective of forgiveness is to literally collapse that world. And so in essence, that's the would be a descriptor of what we're about offering with this work. And it looks like, Miss Jeannie, we're about halfway through the hour, so do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room?
Bob is with us in the chat room. There are no hands up.
Hey,
in
Bob.
The switchboard. And I was just doing a hand actually just went up, but I'm going to put a link in the notes for today. I was doing a search, and Jonas Salk that you quote often. There is the Salk Institute for Biological Studies in La Jolla, California.
Right.
And they actually have done studies on we live in the past and our brain makes up for it. And he's got examples of some different things, and it's like by the time that the light hits something and reflects back and is received by the eye, and then the brain makes up whatever it is it thinks it sees, there's like 70
right.
milliseconds that have passed. And so we're constantly, whatever we see, it is in the past, because there is what they call a, let's see, what did he refer to it as? A flash jump. And it's that space of time, that optical illusion or whatever, that's made up by the brain to compensate for the delay in time. So it's pretty cool. So I'll put a link.
It's right on track. Yes. Yeah. And
yeah.
when you see it from the point of view of what you just shared, it makes total sense when you hear Yeshua say, "In order for you to live, you've got to die." That because the same thing that he's talking about there with perception applies to the self. You know, and in fact, at one point, there's one disciple that he says, you know, his disciple's going to go off and take care of his parents, bury his parents, before he's going to follow or do the work that Yeshua is prescribing. And Yeshua says, let the dead bury the dead. If we're living in that 70 millisecond delay, all we're living is the past over and over and over again. And, of course, all people are the same in each category, because if we never repair our thoughts disorders, the hallucination we make up is the same over and over and over again. So thanks for catching that, finding that.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So I'll put that out there. And we do have a hand up, and I believe it's Miss Magda, 828. You're on the air.
And maybe you could send a link to that to me, too, if you would, Jeannie.
Will
Good
do.
Day, Miss Magdalena.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
I hope. I'm doing very, very well. Yeah, I'm, yes,
awesome.
Rocking along. And you guys
Sweet.
Are well.
Well, joining you in that.
Good, good, good. Okay, and I need some help. If you would.
How can we support you?
I believe I need help formulating at least one and maybe more forgiveness worksheets, and also then coming out of that, a very specific mind shifter. It seems to me that it would be best for me to have a mind shifter dealing with what's coming up for me specifically, rather than choosing one, you know, with random numbers.
Right.
But you
okay.
can tell me what you, yeah. Okay. So I have been quite aware in the last few days that it seems like such an interesting, simple little aha that I guess I've never realized to this extent before. And that is that I have for my entire life been blaming my father for all of my problems. That, you know, my attitudes and my behaviors and all of that I consider a problem are because of him and, you know, because he was critical and so forth. And what I've realized, well, one thing is that I'm being drawn to writing him a letter of understanding and a letter of apology because
right.
I realize that it, yes, he was critical. Yes, I did hear critical information or at least opinions thrown in my direction. And yet, he at the same time never, ever, ever said, you are worthless, you don't deserve all of the things that I have concluded. In my child's mind, I concluded that because he didn't say things like, you deserve all the greatest, you know, blah, 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 and you are so worthy, and all of the positive. He didn't say the positive. He only said the negative. So I focused, I guess, on what was missing and made up my own story. Of course, we make up our own stories. And
right.
And so I would like, I'm blaming myself. I'm now accusing and blaming myself for my own negative opinions. And I believe there's a big worksheet in that, probably. And of course, blaming him has gone on forever. And I think there's probably a worksheet in that, too. And then a mind shifter. So there you are.
Well, if you think back, first thing that comes to me is if you think back, do you remember him ever having any self-doubt or self-blame words,
yes,
conversation,
yes,
about
yes,
what was wrong with him?
Oh, let's see. Pretty rare. Usually what I observed after time, after I became old enough to look at him and think, this man has a problem. and observe his behavior. I think his behavior told me, yeah, he didn't feel very good about himself, about his own actions and so forth. He wasn't terribly big on apologies or admittance of anything negative. He just went away and sulked and became depressed.
Do you ever find yourself going away and sulking and becoming depressed?
About myself.
And depression, remember, is thoughts of anger towards self.
Well, yes, then. Yes.
So it sounds like, you know, maybe you're going to be you're the early adopter, perhaps the first one in the family system that's ready to take on this self-deprecation.
Okay.
So a mind shifter, I would suggest, is it's safe, healing, and easy for me.
Okay, safe, healing, and easy. I'm going to write that one in big letters. Okay, for me. Mm-hmm. Okay.
To acknowledge the truth and beauty of my own being.
Okay, that brought tears to acknowledge. And beauty of my own being with a capital
thereby,
B.
Yeah, capital B for sure. Mm-hmm. Thereby undoing.
Okay. Thereby undoing.
The generational inclination toward self-deprecation. It's like the sense I'm getting as you spoke, the sense I get is that you're the one who's going to take on this family pattern of I'm broken, I'm not good enough, there's something wrong with me, and heal it.
Okay.
Breathing with you. Breathe into that. That's probably a mind shifter we could all do.
Oh, man.
And you look at how churchianity even has pounded that one in and taken advantage of that one in driving people into the ground, supposedly in the name of love.
I know. Yeah, mortal sin. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh. You were born with mortal sin. You were born bad. There is definitely something wrong with you from the very beginning. Oh, my goodness.
And the truth is,
I'm sorry, what?
You listen to that scriptural spot where the Creator is talking to you and says, before you were born, I knew you. And I gave you a mind of truth and love.
Oh, I want to write that one down. Before you were born. And gave you a mind of truth and love?
Yes.
Wow.
And I forget exactly how and those words aren't exact of the scriptural quotes, but there's another one that speaks about, you know, it is my intention for you to have everything. It's like Yeshua talks about, it's the Creator's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And the kingdom of heaven in Aramaic is the community of love, that you are part of a community of love, and that's what the Creator gave us. And then along came the family system that had a different idea, that fell out of harmony with the truth and gave us something different. Not out of any intention, simply out of the fact that that's what was believed.
Okay. Wow.
And that's life. You know, the truth of the being that we are is active present love, and that's life. And when life is flowing through a cell, when love is flowing through a cell, that's when we're truly experiencing who we are. And it's mainly those thought disorders, those generational patterns of thought disorders, that block that direct experience.
Okay, well, you really hit the bingo button there. Really, really, really.
Well, you explained it quite well. All I had to do was feed it back to you. When you go back and listen to the show and notice that I didn't tell you anything, you didn't tell me about what you're facing. And that's, you know, there's the power of being aware of our own words.
And
you know, when you think about the, say again?
And of having someone who understands, being able to listen and feedback. Yeah.
Yeah. So let me share what happened yesterday with Aria. She and I were sitting out. We have a little 4x4 foot, you know, kiddie pool. So we're both sitting in the kiddie pool together, and we're just hanging out and playing and talking. And she comes forward with, "Oh, it was awesome. I mean, you know, I mean, I fit. You know, my legs get in the pool, my butt gets in, and I sit, and I filled the pool. But she's in it, and she swims around and plays in it. And we look up, and there's some birds." We've got a bird feeder, and the birds are feeding. And she says something to the effect of how pretty the birds are, and thank you, God, for birds. And then she went on two or three things that she you know, we have a gratitude journal she's done since she was about two. Most days, either Jeannie and I will sit with it, usually Jeannie, and ask her what she's grateful for, and she'll speak it, and then she'll draw a little drawing and, you know, talk about the things she appreciates. And so she's two or three things, I don't remember exactly what they were, that she spoke of that she appreciated. And she's sitting, you know, she's kind of facing me. I'm sitting in the pool, lean back on the edge of it. And she's facing me, and I just, you know, really capture her gaze, look her in the eye. It's like, you know something, Aria? Something that I really appreciate, you know, she's just shared two or three things that she appreciates. One of the things that I really appreciate is the fact that you are here with us today, and we get to spend time with you, and you are so awesome. And she just leans over, I mean, with just this sweet grin on her face, leans over and puts her head on my chest and just, you know, doesn't say anything, just is there with her head on my chest. And this, you know, it was like just this moment of joining in the truth of who we are. And so I'd invite you to maybe to take that image and let yourself do a meditation where you put your dad in that picture and receive that from him. And maybe your speaking that inspires him. I mean, it was her speaking appreciation that inspired me to say that to her. But maybe your speaking to him might be about your appreciating the truth of who he is.
Yeah.
And seeing through all that false belief about self that withholds.
I love it. I really like that idea so much. The image of you two together, I wrote this down, playing and talking in the kiddie pool. And well, it just, it was so heartwarming for me to hear that. And I immediately had the image of my dad and I doing that and how wonderful it would have been. So what I'm realizing is I can make that happen.
Yeah. And you can give him the gift of receiving it as well.
Yeah. Great. Well,
today, this morning when we were out, Jeannie had to go out and do some things with her dad today, so I was here with her, and so we went out to the pool this morning, and we didn't get a chance for that kind of moment because she took her new collection of toy
dinosaurs.
Little dinosaurs and dragons, you know, and when she's got those, she's so active. And so the dinosaurs were in the water and out of the water and spitting water and all this stuff. And there wasn't room for that. But yesterday was just so precious.
Yes, indeed. And I suggest that it's going to be a precious memory for her out of the many, many precious memories that she's creating, that you guys are creating together. Wow, what a blessing.
Certainly one of those precious ones with me, for me.
Yeah, right. What a blessing she is in your life. And in
you're not kidding.
But as you share, as you share with us, I count that as a huge blessing. And of course, you all. Cool.
And I don't know if you were on the show when I shared it a couple of weeks ago. Jean was getting ready to take her home to her mom and dad's, and so she was brushing her hair out, and we're sitting in the front room, and I spoke about how pretty she was, and then she has this, you know, she's four, but she has this just dry sense of humor. And so I said, how pretty you are. You're just about as pretty as Papaw. And she looks at me and she says, Well, you're gorgeous.
I do remember hearing that, and I'm
it's
glad
like,
you called it again.
Made my day.
Oh. Magda, I just sent you a picture. She's actually, she'll turn 4 in 2 weeks. But and then her mom and dad are going to the beach the same week Michael and I are. And then when they get back, she starts pre-K on the 29th. She'll only go half a day, and then we'll have her the other half of the day. But she's going to go to a school where they have uniforms. So I just sent you a picture of her in her uniform. She's precious.
She's cute.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, how super. Okay. Well, I'm feeling very content and full, very full. And I think that if I do write a letter to my dad, it will be after the mind.
Sweet. Well, knowing, you know, that his eternal beingness is attuned to yours, as mm-hmm. you give that gift to yourself on deeper and deeper levels, he's going to get to receive it as is, as you resolve those self-deprecating thoughts, as the whole bloodline gets to heal that unconscious dynamic. So what a gift to give your family system. And energetically, you know, I was talking the other day about how several places in the world simultaneously items have been patented by people who've never heard of each other, never known anything of each other. And in the same way, you know, the Course talks about how millions yet unborn will benefit. Thanks for bringing that energy into the world on still a deeper level into your being and your heart.
You're welcome. And we're all in this together, aren't we?
Absolutely. 2,000%.
Yes, indeed. Oh, okay. Well,
and thank God we're able to have the conversation.
Yes, yes. You know, this show provides that. It is such a blessing. And you're, first of all, what you discovered about forgiveness is a huge blessing. And then to be able to share it with people as you do. Wow. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome, you're welcome, you're welcome.
Okay. Okay, guys, I'm going to sign off and just tell you that I cherish you both so much.
All right. Well, give Chuck a hug for us. When you see Michael, do the same, and Julie as well.
Shall do. Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Blessings. All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Love restored. How cool. By the way, there is, you know, in the notes today, Jeannie, actually the gentleman who just a couple of weeks ago I went to be with, who was, according to hospice, in the process of dying, had 12 to 24 hours to live. I went and spent a couple of days in the hospital with him, and it's just a really sweet space and a sweet time. But he was in Nashville, and he has a friend who has a studio. And back a couple of years ago when I wrote that poem, I had shared it with him, and he's a songwriter, so he was imagining putting it to music. And so he set up for me to come to Nashville and go into a studio and record Love Restored. So that's one of the links that Jeannie's put in the notes, is a recording of Love Restored. And then so that you can follow it, there's also a printed copy that you can print out and follow the words, because it's, you know, this journey through the mind, you know, people want things to be simple and make it like I've always understood. And it's like, well, wait a minute. If you're in pain and trauma, you haven't understood anything that's true, so you've got to be ready for something different and new. And so just listening to the words of it put to music has an impact, but I think it's a little bit of a challenge for the mind to keep up with the steps that are laid out in the poem. And so there's a written one that I suggest, if you're listening, you print off and follow along, and you'll see the, you know, it's kind of like the biomarkers for the work and the stages that we go through in doing the work. And it becomes, I think, more profoundly available when you let your brain fall on the words, those squiggles on the piece of paper we call words. And those energetic patterns move within you. So take hold of that, and it's a sweet exercise. I think it's something that several people have shared has really shifted energy for them, love restored. And we've got about 4 minutes left, so Miss Jeannie, any other thoughts for you or anything happening in the chat room? Anybody in the phone queue with a final question for us?
There are no hands up and no questions, but I was doing a search for the Course in Miracles about millions yet unborn, and actually what came up was not a Course in Miracles, but was a quote by George Washington and how he felt that whatever we chose in the moment to act upon, that it would reverberate for future generations, and said, "For with our fate will the destiny of unborn millions be involved."
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
So that's what
I got.
That's what came up.
Goosebumps throughout my whole body on that one.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you, George Washington, for that little hit of energy.
And we are down to just 2 minutes.
So if you're not using the tools, we invite you to go to our website, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? whyagain.org. And if you click the link in the upper left-hand corner, that link will take you to a total explanation and walk you through the whole process of forgiveness. You can do the forgiveness worksheet right there on the website live. Print it off if you want on your printer so you've got it. You can download the worksheets, print them on your printer so you can make copies and do your work right there in writing. And or you can go to your app store on your phone, type in the words Heartland, H-E-A-R-T-L-A-N-D, one word, Heartland, Aramaic, A-R-A-M-A-I-C, forgiveness. And you'll be looking at the world's only forgiveness app. Download it, start doing the worksheet right there on your phone. You can ask questions from within it. You know, if you have a question, any page, just hit a link. Type out your questions, send it to us. We'll answer it here on the show and get back to you and tell you when we answered it so you've got access to it. You can access the commitment, the tools, the website, events. It's all there on the website or in the app. So, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. In the meantime, create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.